This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We need to talk about Bill Walton. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
What inning is this?
It's the seventh inning.
How many innings do they play?
Still nine.
Yeah, and you get to stretch after this.
Take me out to the ball game.
That's it.
Take me out to the crowd.
Welcome back in. I am so happy that we get the opportunity to talk with my next guest, because he's made a lot of news since it was announced that he's going to be calling games with Bill Walton. White Sox games with Bill Walton. It's tonight. Tonight, they're going to do it. Jason Benetti is the fine play-by-play man for your Chicago White Sox, and he joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. 500 new and used vehicles at Alpamonte Ford for you to choose from. Hello, Mr. Benetti.
Lawrence, I feel like the gift that I want to give you is Bill Walton talking about Alpamonte Ford. I now hear things, and I think, boy, it'd be fun to hear Bill riff about that.
I would enjoy him doing that, and I am one of the people that is very much looking forward to this, and we got a taste of it last Saturday. So let's start at the beginning. How did this happen? Because here's my theory. My theory is that you knew that Tony was going to have the Angels series off, and they said to you, Jason, who would you like to work with? And then you flippantly said, well, how about Bill Walton? Thinking they never say yes to that. And then Bob Grimm and Jerry Reinsdorf were like, yeah, that'd be fine. And now there's Bill Walton. Is that how it happened?
So it's actually less insidious on my part than that. And how it happened was, a lot of people watched Maui when Bill and I worked together, and they thought we had fun, and we did. And, well, I speak for myself, I did. It seems like Bill did, because he's coming back for more. So what ended up happening was, our video guy, our video coordinator for the Sox, Brian Johnson, who's in the replay room working with the TV and the video, and he edits the video for the coaches, he's the guy who said to me first, at the beginning of the year, how cool would it be if we could get Bill Walton to do a game? And I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be funny. And then we moved on from there. And then it just so happened the second series of the year, ESPN did the Cleveland game one, I think. And we were in the hotel restaurant, and all of us kind of got together. The producer for ESPN, Tim Sullivan, happens to be the producer for us for Maui as well. So then a couple Sox people and I and Sully started talking. And we were like, hey, you know, maybe plant a seed with Bill just to see if he would ever do it. Not for knowing that Steve was taking those games off, because we had no idea. Then Steve ended up taking off the two in Washington the first half of the year. So in order to get to his six, he needed to take a four-game series off. So he ends up taking off the four games from Anaheim, and Brooks Boyer was like, hey, if we're going to think about maybe Walton, why don't we just get a couple celebrities as well? And maybe you do one solo, like who knows what happens. But it ended up being just me emailing Bill, and he said, sure. And I was like, oh, okay, like this is actually happening. So it actually came from a number of different angles within the Sox. And Bob Grimm, you mentioned Bob Grimm. He has been awesome working with Bill, getting him up to speed. Bill's grandson is actually having his birthday party at Angel Stadium tonight. So he's got a suite. He's got a ton of family there. And it ended up working out perfectly.
What's it like to work with Bill Walton?
So I was just thinking about this a little while ago, talking to somebody else. It strikes me, the best way I can describe it is, it's like hanging out with an encyclopedia, which isn't in alphabetical order and isn't in English all the time.
And is out of sorts, like from page to page, too.
Right. Like you flip a page and there's just a picture of a pizza. And then you flip a page and it's Waterloo.
And it's the ABBA song Waterloo too, not just actually Waterloo.
Right. No. And then the winner takes it all comes out of the book. Like, I don't, who knows?
It's so fun to watch you guys interact, and I feel like I'm in on the bit. Like, as a viewer, like, I feel like I'm in on it. And I know that from my experience of watching last Saturday with Ozzy and Frank, I had to kind of explain to them Bill. And I told them, I said, look, I was at the Final Four a few years ago. I interviewed Bill Walton. The interview was 20 minutes. I asked two questions. One of the questions was, how are you?
So I walked by Ozzy in the hallway at the ballpark the other day. And I said, hey, what do you think of Bill Walton? He goes, oh, that got crazy. And I was like, you said he's crazy? That means he's really crazy. But the thing is, Ozzy then said, but I'm going to watch. And it's not one of those like, oh, I hate him as a person, so I'm going to watch. People may dislike the banter sometimes. There's a group of people who absolutely won't get it and won't like it. And like, I profusely apologize to them for one night of their lives that I've absolutely ruined and we've all absolutely ruined, and my goodness, how could we ever do that? But it's also 162 games, and there's something different that happens at every baseball game on the field. And this is the something different of a vantage point that you're going to get from Bill. And I think it's great to have new eyes on a team. By the way, he is a championship-caliber college basketball player twice over. And he's one of the great NBA players and would have been one of the top 10 probably had he not had the foot problem. And so the thing that I can tell you is our coaching staff with the Sox is excited to have him in the clubhouse. Like, there's a chance Bill might talk to the team in some formal setting today because he's such a leader. He's such a smart man. And all of this that he says and all of this that he does and how he acts is just him taking as much joy out of the world as he can. I think it's great.
Jason Benetti, White Sox play-by-play man, joins me here on The Score as we talk about his weekend where he gets to kind of play around with the art a little bit, and Bill Walton will be on deck for tonight's game. I think that of all the sports that you do play-by-play for, this one lends itself to something like this because there is a lot of time in between action on the field. And I've always felt if you were doing a radio broadcast, I would be a little bit more, I'd have more trepidation about this because of the importance of you having to describe everything for the person who can't see it. But considering that the pictures are going to be there, to have a legendary storyteller in the booth with you, I think it'd be a lot of fun and be a different way to consume baseball.
I'm glad you said that because that's exactly it. I mean, the pictures are there. Now, in big moments in a game, if you watch him do a big game in big moments, he is absolutely in it. He loves watching sports. So if we have a close game tonight, I think he's going to be as amped as everybody at home because he likes big-time sports feats. But that's the two words you said, they're legendary storyteller, are the essence of baseball broadcasting. And anybody who tells stories, like that's why I'm excited about Mike Schur on Saturday, because Mike, as a showrunner, tells you stories every week and makes you care about Leslie Knope or Eleanor Shellstrop or Moe Schrute, who he was. Like, you care about these people. And, by the way, he's a huge baseball fan. So that's the whole goal of these 3 days is people who tell great stories and really do enjoy sports, specifically baseball.
I want to ask you about your regular partner who's off this weekend. Steve Stone has the series off, which is going to allow for Jason to have Michael Schur in, who ran Parks and Recs and ran The Office, and you're gonna love him. He's so funny, and you're right, he's into it too. I want to know, when it comes to your regular partner, what makes Steve so great at his job as an analyst?
He is such a savant at seeing things on the field that become future action. when he said, that's why I said in the story that Steve Greenberg wrote about him earlier this year, like, is he psychic? Really great for him. I'm thrilled for him. I almost would rather him just say, hey, I watch a ton of baseball. I know what's going to happen because I see these little things on the field, like the fielder moves half an inch this way, so it's going to be a pitch to the outside corner. He sees all that stuff. And by the way, he does not get nearly enough credit for, you know, I read a lot of things and watch a lot of TV and whatever in terms of sports. He is as well-spoken of an analyst as you could possibly imagine. His understanding of the English language and the ways to navigate it, I mean, he's really fantastic at that, too. And then he can make you laugh with the best of them. Like, his one-liners are top 10 in baseball, not in just analysts, but, like, in people you could hang out with. He's got all of those qualities, which means he's great to sit next to for 3 hours.
His timing's really good, too. It's
Yes, he finds gaps in things that other people don't find, and he beats the audience to the punchline and the analysis quite often, which most don't do.
I agree with that. I think that he's the best analyst in the game. I'm biased. I've grown up watching Steve Stone. I adore him, and whenever he pops up on the score, you know, we had an unbelievable, like, 25-minute conversation back in May, and it left the audience dumbfounded. And I think that that's what makes you guys' partnership so great, is you know what you're doing, so you know how to allow him space. How did that develop, though?
I think it happened pretty quickly. I mean, I think my training at ESPN has been, hey, you might be working with a guy you've never met, so sit down and make a show out of it that seems like you've met 5 million times before and go to lunch every day. And so I sit down with somebody and I think, okay, how can we make this a partnership? And, you know, I tend to think that that's analyst friendly, no matter what the sport, and that's part of the goal. But it's also that our senses of humor and our senses of timing, I think are pretty similar. Now, I don't want to put myself in the pantheon of timing with him, because I haven't done it for nearly as long as he has. But I do think a lot of what we do and how we navigate conversation is the same. And so we end up knowing where each other's timing is headed. And sometimes we'll both see the same punchline and kind of look at each other. And it's like, all right, who's going to go for it? Who's got the restraint today? Neither of us. Okay, here we go.
Are you doing Sunday solo?
Sunday is Mike O'Brien from Saturday Night Live. People may know him as the creator of AP Bio on NBC. He was a cast member on SNL. But if you don't know Mike O'Brien, who is a huge Sox fan, by the way, and is as amped as anybody, like he texted me the other day that he is watching Ivan Nova start just to identify his cutter. And then I broke it to him that Ivan Nova's not going to pitch on Sunday. And he was like, oh, my gosh. So now I have to go watch other film. But he watches the Sox every night. If you don't know Mike O'Brien, go to YouTube, click Mike O'Brien Jay-Z SNL. He did a digital short where he played Jay-Z. J.K. Simmons comes walking in as Nas. And it is ridiculous and fantastic.
Okay, I will look that up after the show today. That seems like it will be a lot of fun for you. All right, just a little bit of baseball before I let you go. What's it been like calling White Sox games this year?
There's a lot of hope. And the toughest moments are an evening in Boston when it's raining and Tim Anderson looks like he might not make it off the field. And then Yoan Moncada goes on a tear, and he limps off the field. And Carlos Rodon's in the clubhouse now, and we have great conversation about who knows what, but it's not about his next start. And Michael Kopech calling in from the cliffs of Arizona rather than being on the mound. There is a ton of hope. Like, I was thinking about this the other day, and I understand Sox fans' frustration. I understand that it hasn't looked exactly as we've wanted at points this year. But then I stop and think how much on the margin every sport is. And when you lose Kopech and Rodon, and you have this sort of luck with Anderson and Jimenez and Moncada, and it's not all luck. I shouldn't say luck. There's some technique there as well in terms of Eloy getting better in the outfield and all of this. But for me, if you have even a couple of those pieces for a little longer this year, and ifs and buts, right, I get it. But I also know how much better the baseball has been this year compared to last year, and I am truly excited about what's coming next. And I hope Sox fans understand that, yes, it's my job to be on TV talking about the Sox and wanting them to win. Yes, absolutely. But I also am not going to get behind fervently something I don't believe in. And Stoney has said something fairly similar. But for me, seeing the young talents and how much they love being around one another, especially those young pitchers helping each other, I'm actually thrilled for next year already. And I would give you a look over there answer if I meant something else.
Okay. I've enjoyed it. I do wonder, like, if the halves were flipped, like how we would feel about things, and if they hadn't struggled out the gate in the second half, how we would feel. But it's been nice, like, even just having, like, watching Nova over the last five starts and seeing competent major league pitching as a starter has made me feel really good about what they could be. What Reynaldo Lopez has done in the second half of the season feels good. And then you add that with Tim Anderson, even though he doesn't walk, still having a .350 on base percentage and hitting his way on base and being a terror when he's out there on base. I agree with you that there is a lot to be excited about, and I'm looking forward to them kind of adding to this thing in the off season and hopefully making a team that looks more complete.
Yeah, I totally understand that from your perspective and everybody else's perspective too. Like, that's absolutely true that there are going to be pieces that have to be added to the foundation. It's absolutely true. The front office knows that, they've talked about it, and, you know, we'll see where it goes in the offseason. And I hate to say that. I'd like to say, like, yes, the Sox are getting this guy, or yes, like, this is absolutely going to happen. But thinking about the no matter what scenario, right, about the guys who are going to be in camp and the talent that's on the way, I know everybody's pining for Luis Robert, and frankly, so am I. The Sox fan portion of my brain that doesn't turn off. Like, give me that guy. Let's go. Come on. And it's like, okay, well, there are other things that are going on, and, you know, do you want him up at this point and whatever, right? But all of this suggests a core that not only is going to be fun to watch, but absolutely is lovable. Like, how could you, if you're a kid, not love Tim Anderson? How could you, after Eloy Jimenez hits a homer, if you're a kid, see him say, hi, Mom, and have that beaming smile and see how much he loves the game and loves to work at the game, not love that guy? I mean, there's so much to love about Giolito and how much he speaks his mind and his intelligence and Dylan Cease and his spirituality and a pretty deep, smart kid for 23 years old. There's so much in there. And I think this team is – if it plays even a little bit better next year, over 500 into the All-Star break, I think there's a run in this team that people are going to latch on to, and I'm excited for it.
And I'm excited to hear you. Jason Benetti, this guy is amazing. I thank him for being on the show. Tonight, NBC Sports Chicago, 9:07 first pitch, Jason Benetti and Bill Walton are going to be together.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.